The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Folks, welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, he has a jar of peanut butter, and he's not afraid to use it. Here comes Eric Metaxas.
Folks, welcome back. As you know, we're crazy on this show. We believe crazy things, like there are two genders. 1 + 1 = 2. The election was stolen. Trump actually won. We have evidence to back these things up. But in the crazy world in which we live, these beliefs are called crazy, and I want to own that. These are crazy beliefs that we cling to with our Bibles and our guns, and we're not the only ones. I had the joy recently of finding out that a recording artist, Natasha Owens, has written a song called Trump Won, and I thought, wouldn't it be great to get her on the program? Because the song has been doing incredibly well. And what do you know? We got her. Natasha, welcome.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Listen, how in the world did you get the idea to write this song called Trump Won? It's obviously doing tremendously well, which is how it came to our attention. Where did you get the idea to do this? What is your background? This is just delightful.
You know, my husband had the idea 2 years ago. He said, Trump won and you know it. And I said, I know it. Everybody knows it. But it just didn't feel like the right time. They were really coming against that rhetoric and censoring it. And so 2 years later, we've been on the road to private events. We did a political patriotic album this past year. And everyone is saying the same thing. They wanted it acknowledged. They want it fixed. And they just kept saying, Trump won and you know it. And so this song, we said, we've got to sit down and write it now. And so we did. And I'm so glad we did. I come from a contemporary Christian background. So this was my, the American Patriot album from last year was my sixth album that came out. And we're just excited to be in this lane. We're paving a path that not many go down.
Well, the crazy thing about Christians is we have this loony idea that there's such a thing as truth. And not telling the truth is like lying. Lying is bad. We have that kind of crazy idea. We also believe stealing is wrong, which means that stealing elections is actually morally wrong. And we ought not to be afraid to talk about it, but to sing about it is next level. And I just have to ask you, because we'll be playing the song on the program, but how do you, how has the song done? I mean, you know, it's been on the Billboard charts. Talk about this.
You know, it hit number one on iTunes last week until Taylor Swift decided to throw four songs on there that had never been heard again before. And so it dropped, but it keeps going right back up. There's several patriotic songs on the top five and top 10 charts right now. But it went on Billboard. It hit number five in the total downloads. It also hit number two on the country genre market, which is unusual because we marketed it as pop.
So this was number one on iTunes. Let's focus on the positive. This was number one on iTunes. You're not making that up. A song called Trump Won, written by you and sung by you, was number one on iTunes. What do you think this says? I think it says something about what's going on in the country.
I think it says the silent majority, there is more of us than them. I think people are so tired of the rhetoric. They're so tired of the tech censorship, and they're finding a way to go around it. And I mean, it shows a red wave to the pop charts is what it shows to me. And I think it's exciting, and it encourages everyone that we're binding together. And everybody knows it, whether they want to admit it or not, that Trump did win.
You have to understand, you do understand this, I think. the Democrats, the left, it's no longer the Democratic Party of our childhood. They have become leftist anti-Americans. And the greatest threat to those people is losing power, which means the greatest threat to those people is the free market, which is people choosing what they like, having an opportunity actually to pick something that they like. For example, a song like yours, Trump Won, the idea that that song could exist, that it could be available on iTunes, that it could be available anywhere, that people can go and Google it right now, that scares them to death. That's why they're in the business of censorship. It's why they're in the business of stealing elections, because the idea that we, the people, could actually get to choose who we want to represent us in the White House is frightening to them. And they're so frightened that they're doing dramatically desperate things that they've never done before. But every now and again, we get hope. And your song, Trump Won, gives us hope. In the song, you actually give examples, like in the lyrics, of how it is that we know he won. I mean, can you mention some of those? You don't have to sing them, but if you can mention them.
Well, we start out the song by saying we've got dead people voting in drop boxes. And, you know, we just picked fun. During the 2020 election, everyone saw this play out. You had 100-mile, car lines for in support of Trump. You had boat rallies. You had thousands of people who were spending the night standing in line waiting to get into his rallies. And then you see the other side where Joe Biden barely has six people sitting in circles. And so we just wanted to make fun of that. And then we wanted to bring it back around that the truth always comes out. It always does. And at some point, even Twitter and the FBI is going to have to acknowledge that.
Well, you might not believe this, but I actually sang a song called Biden, Did You Know? This was Christmas of 2020.
Oh, that was you. I got that this Christmas and I laughed so hard. It was on my playlist for at least several weeks.
Oh, I love it. Well, the lyrics were written by our friend John Zmirak, but I performed it. You know, I was thinking, like, how would the Pet Shop Boys sing this song? And it was just so pathetic and funny and stupid. But it was banned over and over and over again. It kept tearing it down from different platforms and stuff because, listen, the truth hurts. And I think it's still someplace that people search for it. But the fact of the matter is that we know what happened. And this is still a free country. We still get to talk about it. We get to sing about it. We get to make jokes about it because this is a free country. And if you're quiet, if you're silent about it, you're part of the problem. And that's why I want to have you on, Natasha, because you have become a voice for so many. The song, again, people can Google it, people can download it, but it's just amazing to me that people are beginning to figure out, the ones who didn't figure it out initially are beginning to figure out, you know what? Yeah, as the evidence comes out from the Twitter files, from what Congress is discovering, from what we're discovering about the vaccines, we've been lied to and lied to and lied to and lied to and told to shut up. And unless we shut up, the more we gain our power back. So, I mean, look, this must be fun for you to see this happening.
You know, it's almost a dream come true. It's just amazing. I'm glad you touched on this point a little bit just a while ago. You know, I wanted to give a voice to the people who either weren't strong enough or didn't feel like that they could come out and say it. And we have been getting messages from all around the world, not just the United States, saying, you know, I'm surrounded by liberals. I'm surrounded by people that don't believe the way I do, and I'm afraid to talk about it. But thank you so much for giving me a voice back. And so that gives me more strength than anything in knowing that whatever the headwinds are coming my way, that it's all worth it.
Well, that's the point, right? And that's kind of why I've done a lot of what I have done, is because I know there are people out there, they need a little bolstering in the courage department. They're afraid. They're looking around. What are people saying? I want to be one of those people to say, I see exactly what you see, and I'm going to say it so that you might say it when you get an opportunity. And then when you say it, somebody else will hear you say it, and they'll say, you know what? I was thinking the same thing. We need to be more vocal. We need to be out there. And when you create something like you did with this song and the other songs that you've created, it just gives people an opportunity. We can share these things on social media. And the message is getting out. Natasha, you know, the message is getting out. Most Americans know something fishy was going on. And because everything is fishy, they are basically figuring out that, well, then why wouldn't this be fishy? People can find you at NatashaOwens.com. Is that right?
It's NatashaOwensMusic.com. And you can go there. It will expand you out to everywhere I am on a platform, whether it's social media, whether it's music, anywhere you normally download music, you can find me as of now.
Okay. We are just thrilled to have you on. God bless you,
Thank you, wonderful
sister and patriot, NatashaOwensMusic.com. Natasha Owens, bless you.
Thank you guys so much. Appreciate it.
Legacy Precious Metals has a revolutionary new online platform that allows you to invest in real gold and silver online. In a few easy steps, you can open an account online, select your metals of choice, and choose to have them stored in a vault or shipped to your door. You have access to a dashboard where you can track your portfolio growth in real time, anytime. You'll see transparent pricing on each coin and bar. This puts you in complete control of your money. The platform is free to sign up for. Visit legacypminvestments.com and open your account and see this new investing platform for yourself. Gold hedges against inflation and against a volatile stock market. A true diversified portfolio isn't just more stocks and bonds, but different asset classes. This new platform allows you to make investments in gold and silver, no matter how small or large, with a few clicks. Visit legacypminvestments.com to get started. You're going to love this free new tool they've added, legacypminvestments.com. legacypminvestments.com. Check it out.
This Easter season, join world-renowned tenor Andrea Bocelli for an unforgettable journey of hope, beauty, and music. Experience musical performances from Michael W. Smith, Tori Kelly, Taya, and Torin Wells across the awe-inspiring Italian countryside. The Journey, a music special from Andrea Bocelli, brings you face-to-face with the moments in life that define us, the music that moves us, and the relationships that matter most. The Journey, a music special from Andrea Bocelli in theaters April 2nd, 3rd, 4th, and 6th. Find out more at thejourney.movie. That's thejourney.movie.
Dark as shame, darling, dark as shame. Thank you for all the joy and
pain. Hey folks, welcome to the program. We try to have John Zmierich on every week. Yesterday we only got a few minutes with him really and wanted to talk to him more today. So, John, welcome back.
Thanks, Eric.
You've got a number of articles at the Stream. Do you want to talk about the ones you wrote about forgiveness?
Yeah, I've got a two-part series on Donald Trump and the meaning of forgiveness for Christian. Part one's called Trump Needs to Forgive Those Who Wronged Him, But They Need to Repent. And I've had this argument with people in the past, and it never really made sense to me. For instance, they say, well, you should forgive those who commit sins against you just the way you want God to forgive you. And I always said, but God only forgives me if I repent. So if my enemies repent, I will forgive them. That's what I expect from God. I hope for from God. And that's what they're going to get from me. And if they don't repent, I'm not forgiving them.
Now, hold on. I got it. There's a little theological correction here.
I know this is wrong, Eric. I'm laying out my mistaken position. Okay.
Well, I just want to make the theological point and you can react to it.
Yeah.
If somebody has died, if your parents have died and they have gravely wronged you, they don't have an opportunity to repent, to tell you they're sorry. For your own soul, you forgive them. Forgiving doesn't mean mitigating what they did. But
Eric,
I feel like that point has to be made.
Well, Eric, you're anticipating the rest of my article. Okay?
I apologize.
I was saying this was my position and it was mistaken. Okay, I came to realize forgiveness does not mean what popular culture presents it as. And I've seen movies where this woman, a nun, is raped by violent assailants. And as a Christian, she forgives them and won't permit them to be prosecuted by the police. That's not forgiveness. And if that's what Jesus was asking from us, he would be nuts. And the Romans would have been right to crucify this nutcase. I want to say that again. If that were Christianity, it would be nonsense, okay? To say that a wife whose husband beats her has to go back and keep living with him and forgive him, even though he keeps on beating her, that's not Christianity. That's being a pinata. That's not what Jesus asked for from us. And again, if he did, it would be wrong and it would prove he wasn't the Messiah. What he asks for from us, what forgiveness means, is to let go of the anger, to let go of the grudge, to let go of the hurt, not to be ruled by it, not to be governed by it, not to be tweeting about it 7 years later, I say, thinking of Donald Trump. If you allow yourself to be ruled by these passions, that's how you end up with places like Sicily and Sardinia, where I have to avenge my grandfather's murder by killing his grandson, where grudges and vendettas can dominate an entire society. That is the kind of unforgiveness that we're not supposed to do. So when you forgive someone, you're just letting go of the anger. You're not reconciling. Okay. Forgiveness does not mean reconciliation. Reconciliation is where forgive and forget, we embrace, we're friends again. We can be roommates again, even though you steal from me. I can live in the house with you, even though you beat me up all the time. No, reconciliation is that's the difficult thing that may never happen this side of the grave. Okay. You don't reconcile with a sociopathic sex abuser. You don't reconcile with the guy who molested your child. And in either case, you forgive him, but you still send him to prison if he needs to go to prison. It has absolutely no effect on what you do in terms of achieving justice through the justice system. If you still should seek justice. And then if the person is repentant, well, that's for the parole board to decide. And if
John, I want to say this only because it's, to me, the classic case. We've mentioned this, I know, in previous conversations. John Paul II was the victim of an assassination attempt. A man tried to murder him and almost succeeded. That man was put in jail. John Paul II, the Pope, went to visit him in jail and to pray with him and forgave him. But he did not say, let him out of jail.
That's right.
That is an important lesson for us, folks, because that man could have murdered other people. There's this thing called justice. And to forgive someone the way John Paul II did, to pray with him, that's the Christian thing to do. But to very sloppily conflate that with saying, we don't prosecute, we don't try to bring legal justice, that's wrong. And many Christians, as you've been saying, John, they don't understand that. We need to understand that, folks. This is very, very, very important practically.
And politically, I think Donald Trump reconciled with enemies who he shouldn't have. He shouldn't have appointed Nikki Haley to the UN after she called him a racist repeatedly during the presidential race. He shouldn't have let Paul Ryan stay as Speaker of the House. Trump, I think, misunderstood forgiveness and actually tried to reconcile with people who were his deadly enemies and our enemies.
I think you're wrong. I don't think it had anything to do with forgiveness in the case of Donald Trump. I thought it was pure pragmatism. He thought it would be the politically expedient thing to do. He did not realize what he was dealing with at the time. And I believe now he does understand what he's dealing with. So with Trump's second term would look very dramatically different. And people like you and me and others will hold his feet to the fire on all this stuff.
Yeah. Okay. But there is a parallel. You don't want to reconcile with inveterate enemies.
Correct.
Reconciling with them is just stupid and self-defeating and unfair to innocent people you're supposed to protect. Too many Catholic bishops, when they had priests who'd molested children, the priest would go to confession and seem sincerely repentant. And the bishop would go, okay, I guess you get to be a priest again. And then they would go molest more kids. What they should have done was send them to prison where they belonged. But they misunderstood Christian forgiveness. So this is a really important distinction to make. Because prematurely reconciling with a dangerous enemy is just as bad as refusing to forgive someone. It's equally bad. That we Christians, we have certain virtues and we say, well, I guess since lust is bad, the opposite extreme must be great. No, the opposite extreme is usually another kind of sin. And that was the point of my book, The Bad Catholic's Guide to the Seven Deadly Sins. I applied Aristotle's ethics to the seven deadly sins, which Aquinas did and Dante did in the Divine Comedy. So, again, you're looking for the golden mean, the via media, which is forgiveness, but not premature false reconciliation. And I think it'd be good for Trump to learn some of these lessons, because sometimes he shows unforgiveness. He's still tweeting angrily about things that happened a long time ago. That does him no benefit, and it actually kind of damages him politically. He shouldn't be doing that. Let go of that, but don't reconcile with people who are going to stab you in the back.
Well, I was saying, I feel like he's learned this the hard way.
He
understands what was done to him. And
to us,
and to all of us, to the country. I think he sees it now, but at the time, listen, I would have been on board with him bringing in half of these people, thinking this is going to be, you know, it's going to be harmony. We can all work together. He's the leader. Totally wrong. We now know that they had it out for him, or if they didn't specifically, explicitly have it out for him, they were happy to work with those who did.
I think Trump needs to force his daughter to divorce Jared and marry Steve Bannon.
Let's work on that. Let's write a type of a memo and we'll get it to them.
Yeah, yeah. It'll be like one of those dynastic marriages in the Middle Ages, where the Pope annuls this marriage and approves this one. Yeah. So to me, this is incredibly important, because I have trouble with forgiveness. And by mistaking forgiveness for reconciliation, it gave me a great reason not even forgive and still be angry at a bad landlord 10 years later. No, you need to let go. Otherwise, you're being governed by that person's sin. You're being dragged down by that person. They're still harming you if you hold on to the anger. And that's the great lesson. And that's why Christianity actually makes sense. It's the religion given us by the person who made us. So he understands how we work. He has the instruction manual, and it's in Hebrew, but he can read Hebrew. And he's telling us how the mechanism works. So again, I think that's important from a theological point of view. People do not mistake reconciliation for forgiveness, because then you will reject forgiveness, or you will practice dumb reconciliation, and you will be Charlie trying to kick the football over and over again, and Lucy pulls it away every time, and you forgive her and make the same mistake again.
This is important theology, ladies and gentlemen, from John Zmirak on the Eric Metaxas Show. We'll be right back. Let me tell you now. Tell me why Relief Factor is so successful at lowering or eliminating pain. I'm often asked that question. Just the other night, I was asked that question. Well, the owners of Relief Factor tell me they believe our bodies were designed to heal. That's right, designed to heal, and I agree with them. And the doctors who formulated Relief Factor for them selected the four best ingredients, yes, 100% drug-free ingredients, and each one of them helps your body deal with inflammation. Each of the four ingredients deals with inflammation from a different metabolic pathway. That's the point. So approaching from four different angles may be why so many people find such wonderful relief. If you've got back pain, shoulder, neck, hip, knee, or foot pain from exercise or just getting older, you should order the 3-week quick start discounted to only $19.95 to see if it'll work for you. It has worked for about 70% of the 500,000 people who've tried it and have ordered more. I'm one of them. Go to relieffactor.com or call 800-4-RELIEF to find out about this offer. Feel the difference. Hey there, folks. Today, we are partnering with Food for the Poor to provide urgently needed food to some of the most impoverished countries in our hemisphere. Because of interrupted planting cycles, rising food prices, and the lingering impact of COVID, the list of families unable to feed their children grows longer by the day. But you can make a difference in these families today. A meal-for-meal match means that your one-time gift of $144, that's the meal-for-meal match, your one-time gift of $144 provides a family of four with food for a year. That's two meals a day for the next year for a family who struggled to get even a handful of rice or enough corn for tortilla. Knowing your gift will never have more impact than right now. Would you rescue one family, three families, or even 10 families by going to metaxastalk.com and click on the red send food banner? You could text. You can also text the keyword Eric to 91999. You'll get a link to make your life-saving gift. Text Eric to 91999. Or to give your gift by phone, call the toll-free number 844-863-HOPE, 844-863-HOPE, 844-863-HOPE. God bless you. Talking to John Zmirak on the Eric Metaxas Show. John Zmirak, you were just talking about two columns that you wrote for stream.org. They go hand in hand. So the first part we've just discussed, what is the second part, part two?
Part two, but they need to repent. Never Trump Christians and their leftist allies owe us apologies. Now, again, this is uses sort of Donald Trump as the figure, but it's not just about what the people did to Trump. It's what they said and did to his supporters. Because if he just stayed a real estate magnate, they wouldn't have bothered him. So it really wasn't about him. It was about his supporters. It was about the deplorables. It was about those of us who don't belong at the country club, except maybe as caddies. And like, we're caddies at the country club who try to come drink in the bar. And it's their job to get us horrible redneck white trash out of the bar, get us out of politics, and get us back on the links carrying bags, which is what we're supposed to do. What was said and done to Trump supporters over the past 6 years has been unspeakable. They accused us of wanting a dictatorship where we would imprison our political enemies. Actually, it turned out that's what the Democrats wanted. They accused us of being fascists, but they're the ones who wanted the lockdown, to lock down people in their homes and close their churches and make them lose their jobs and close their businesses. They accused us of wanting to control people's bodies. They're the ones who forced this dead baby vaccine into our veins at the threat of losing your jobs or being kicked out of the military. They accused us of being Russian collaborators. They accused Donald Trump of committing treason and colluding with Vladimir Putin to steal the 2016 election. They accused Brett Kavanaugh of running rape gangs in high school and Mark Judge of doing the same thing. They accused Kyle Rittenhouse of first degree murder. They accused the January 6th people of trying to destroy the Constitution. And in every case, it was the left and their Never Trump allies who were doing those things. And people like Jonah Goldberg, David French, Rod Dreher, Russell Moore, who claim to be conservatives, but they're such principled conservatives that they couldn't get down in the gutter with Donald Trump and his deplorable supporters. They were on board for almost all of these leftist attacks. They believed the attacks on Brett Kavanaugh, or at least they said, well, we have to take them really seriously. We can't dismiss this as perjury, which it was. They condemned Kyle Rittenhouse before they even knew the facts. In every case, they let the leftist narrative dominate, and they did their best to try to echo it in order to maintain respectability in the eyes of the mainstream media, in order to keep on the same side as the deep state and the big money. And I think all those people who said we were violating our Christian principles by siding with Donald Trump, that we were violating conservatism, we were not being real patriots, they ended up being collaborators with the enemy. They were like the French in 1940 who decided, okay, we can accept the Germans. We're gonna do the Germans' bidding, and that's what it means. Do you know that Charles de Gaulle was convicted of treason and sentenced to death in absentia by the Vichy government during World War II? But who were really the traitors? The Vichy government were the traitors. And that's why I call David French David Vichy French, because he reminds me of General Pétain and Pierre Laval and all those, like the French officer in Casablanca who's working for the Germans. I am shocked to see that gambling is going on in this institution. That's the Vichy French. And
it's basically
the Trump Republicans.
It's a level of hyper pragmatism that is deeply cynical and deeply selfish, that basically doesn't believe in the heroic, doesn't believe in doing the right thing. And I guess my question is whether any of these folks will see the error of their ways. How bad do things get? And I don't know. I mean, I honestly, John, I'm astonished to think how people in the evangelical Christian world, they wanted to be part of the cultural elites. They want to be published in the New York Times. Right. They wanted to be. I was their darling when I wrote Bonhoeffer and you know, Running Socrates in the City. There's something about that. We want to be respectable. I understand that. There's a place for that. But at some point, you have to understand where you are and what is being asked of you. And the fact of the matter is that many of them sided with the agnostic, atheist, secular elites against, you know, the humble church people who believe in right and wrong and things like that. And so we've seen them. Christianity Today has been taken over by that a gang of folks. It's mind blowing to me that a magazine Chuck Colson used to write for it. Billy Graham was one of the founders. It's been taken over. Many churches in America, when I say churches, I'm talking about big evangelical churches. Saddleback Church has a new pastor who the other day blathered on. This is a huge church that was led by Rick Warren for decades, blathered on about diversity and then said the Bible says 10 times more about greed than it does about homosexuality. And I thought these people are following the culture. They're taking their cues from the culture. They are not leading bravely and heroically with the truth of the Bible. We're talking to John Zmirak. At least I thought we were. We'll be right back, and I will let him get a word in edgewise. Stick around for that.
MyPillow is excited to bring you their biggest bedding sale ever. Get the Giza Dream bed sheets for as low as $29.98, a set of pillowcases for only $9.98, and rejuvenate your bed with a MyPillow mattress topper for as low as $99.99. They also have blankets in a variety of sizes, colors, and styles. They even have blankets for your pets. Get duvets, quilts, down comforters, body pillows, bolster pillows, and so much more. All the biggest discounts of the year are happening right now, so don't miss out. They're also extending their money-back guarantee for Christmas until March 1st, 2023, making them the perfect gifts for your friends, your family, and everyone you know. So go to MyPillow.com and use promo code ERIC or call 1-800-978-3057, and you'll get huge discounts on all MyPillow bedding products, including the Giza Dream bed sheets for as low as $29.98, and get all your shopping done now while quantities last. Again, use code ERIC and save. MyPillow.com.
Hey, folks, I'm talking to John Zmirak. John.
You were talking about evangelical churches selling out. Look, I'm Catholic. The Vatican issued a coin celebrating the dead baby vaccine being given to children who don't even need it and cannot benefit from it. Our bishops told priests they couldn't write letters of conscience for Catholics who didn't want to take the dead baby vaccine. So I know about whoring after strange gods. In my article at stream.org, I talk about these people nosing mammon for milk bones and fetching Caesar's slippers. They are acting like fawning pet dogs to whoever has the power. And I think that urge to be respectable, that urge to be part of the establishment, is incredibly unhealthy right now. It was unhealthy in 1943 in Paris when the Nazis controlled the place to want to be in respectable society, to want to be invited to the German embassy, to parties. That's how we have to see it. The enemy is in control, and the price of getting invited to those parties is that you accept the mutilation of children, the abortion of babies, the suspension of the Constitution, the theft of elections, the censorship of the media, the FBI targeting pro-lifers and sending SWAT teams to their homes, the Department of Justice calling moms who go to school board meetings to criticize Marxist critical race theory, labeling such moms as domestic extremists and terrorists. The enemy, the institutions controlled by the enemy, are totalitarians, and you can't play footsie with them. You're better off putting on overalls and watching hee-haw than you are trying to get in with those people, because you're going to have to sell your birthright, and that mess of pottage ain't that tasty.
You know, John, it's interesting. It makes me think of people. There are a lot of people. I know this, okay? And I wrote about it a little bit in my book, Letter to the American Church. They're thinking, you know what? I'm going to keep my mouth shut on certain hot button topics. I don't want to get canceled.
Right.
That's their pragmatic thinking. And look, there's a place for pragmatic thinking. But if you understand where you are, you have to say, is my silence on those issues making it harder for everyone else? Is what I am doing harming the nation, harming others? Am I thinking selfishly? So let's say somebody says, you know what? I don't want the FBI to come here and raid my offices. So let's not write an article about that. Or let's not talk about that on the program. That's what people at Fox News are doing. They're being pragmatic. Instead, they ought to be saying, you know what? It's not that I don't want the FBI to knock down my door. It's that I don't want to live in a country where I have to be careful what I say.
Right.
And anything I can do to help live in a country where we are free to say what we're free to say, even if it invites the scrutiny from the FBI or whatever, I better do that. But people are thinking more of themselves. Corporations and certain leaders are thinking, well, we don't want to get canceled.
And they're not even being
along.
They're not even being smart in the long run. Remember that poem by Niemöller? First, they came for the socialists, and I said nothing because I was not a socialist. Apply that to January 6th. Apply that to people who won't take the vaccine. Apply that to Kyle Rittenhouse. You know, I purposely, when I see something like that, like them going after Kyle Rittenhouse, I was like the first or the second person to defend him. And likewise with Mark Judge and Brett Kavanaugh and Nick Sandman, I want to be the first guy there defending the scapegoat against the mob. And I hope that courage is contagious. And I hope to be a super spreader of courage. And I even at Yale, when I was writing pro-life editorials and editorials against the gay agenda at the Yale Daily News, I wasn't convincing the liberals, but I was giving courage to the quiet conservatives on campus. And they would come up sometimes when nobody was looking and thank me, but they made sure nobody was looking first. And that told me what I'm doing is important. I want to be the guy that makes 100 other people say, well, you know what? You can say that. I mean, he's not in jail. He's not in prison. He's still alive.
That's it, John. That is exactly correct. And in retrospect, all these books I've written about heroes, my book, Seven Men, Seven Women, you realize that when a person does the right thing, it cannot fail to inspire others. I've obviously tried to do that. You have been at the forefront of doing that. Naomi Wolf is doing that. There are figures out there. We have a voice. And the issue, though, is that everyone has a voice. Every one of you has a voice in a community. And if you do the right thing, by the way, first of all, let's be clear. It's God's will that you do the right thing. This is not like, hey, you know, do I like chocolate or vanilla? One is serving the devil, whether you want to know it or not. I'm here to tell you that silence in the face of evil really is evil. If you don't speak up and risk people coming after you at a certain point, you're going along. You're being so pragmatic. You're so worried about yourself. You're letting everyone else go to hell. And that's not God's will. And I just want to be very clear. That's where we are in America right now. And that's why John, you've been such an encouragement to me. There have been folks like Sean Foyt out there. There are people who are very bold and they give others confidence. But I really do believe that's everybody's job to do that a little bit. And when you don't, folks, when you don't, when you say, you know what, I'm going to look the other way, I don't want to get in trouble, you are helping the evil to happen. That's why I wrote the book Letter to the American Church. Christian leaders in particular have been very guilty of this. And I believe some of them can get the memo and can repent and can be part of the solution. But if you don't, it's not going to go well for you or for anyone in the long run. You're making a very foolish decision long term, which is what John just said.
If I could just speak pragmatically, this is not the time to sell your soul. The market is glutted. You will get pennies on the dollar.
I mean, isn't that what we're talking about here? It's amazing.
Hold out till the price goes up.
I don't know if the price is going up. Albin, I think we're done here for the day. So, John, I don't know if there's any final comments. We've got about 20 seconds. Sorry.
Well, I would just ask people to pray for peace and pray for courage in a very strange and disturbing time in our country's history.
Well, that about says it. John, we're just really grateful for you. Thank you, my friend.
You.
Folks, go to stream.org, read everything John writes, print it out, share it. And again, thank you.
Anyway, it wouldn't ring true if not for you. If not for you, my sky would fall, rain would gather.
Albin, this is a crazy day.
I know.
John Zmirak, of course, yeah. he brings the crazy. He's the best. We got Zmirak. We have Heather Mullins, amazing citizen journalist. I cannot believe Heather Mullins. And then Natasha Owens, who wrote the song Trump Won. It was number one on iTunes. It's just crazy today. Just a couple of bits of business. We have to get this in. One of our sponsors. Some of you know MyStore.com and MyPillow.com. We want you to support MyStore.com and MyPillow.com. Lots of great stuff. Just the coffee at MyPillow.com, at MyStore.com is fantastic. But use the code Eric, please. Also, Nutramedics.com, 25% off this month only. They do this once in a while, 25% off. I get all my stuff from them, vitamin C, vitamin D, zinc, magnesium, stevia, melatonin, whatever, whatever. Who just said that? So all of that stuff is, you got to use the code Eric. And we also should say that we're working with the Israel Ministry of Tourism. They're a sponsor on the program. You need to go to holyland.israel.travel, holyland.israel.travel. Visiting the Holy Land, you know, people say, how can I get closer to God? That is one of the ways. It's like, that's the easy, fun way. When you visit Israel and you see the sites, I mentioned that I'm going to be going there next year. And we don't have the details on that, so don't write to us. We'll get you that when we know that, but I'm going there at least once next year. It's really exciting. But I want to see the sites that I wrote about in my book, Is Atheism Dead? If you've read the book, you're thinking, what? This is amazing information. The fact that you get to see these things, that's what flips me out. So holyland.israel.travel. When you go there, whether you have my book or don't, there are things to see there that they just change your relationship with the God of the Bible, because these things come to life. I mean, you've heard others say this, but I want to say it. And Albin, this is really the end.
This is
our campaign with Food for the Poor. Now, folks, this is about feeding the hungry, and we get to participate. This is what Americans do. We help those who are struggling. The question is always how. I don't even think we've had 200 of our listeners participate. And we know that we have many, 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 many thousands and thousands of listeners on this program. So if you listen to this program, even if you gave $5, it would change everything. So this is our last chance. So you have to go to one of three places. You can go to MetaxasTalk.com. MetaxasTalk.com is our radio website. Right at the top is the banner. You click on it and everything is there. You can give monthly. You can do a one-time gift. Some of you can give very generously. Others of you can just give a little bit. But if everyone would just do the tiniest bit, it would make the difference. I mean, on your phone right now, you can text the keyword Eric to 91999. Just text the keyword Eric to 91999. And if you give the price of a cup of coffee, if everybody would do that little bit, it is game changing. We understand that things are tough, but I got to tell you, if you couldn't feed your kids, so we want you to do that. Or you can call the phone number 844-863-HOPE. Some of you just want to call it 844-863-HOPE, 844-863-HOPE. Or as I say, text Eric to 91999, or go to MetaxasTalk.com. You'll see the banner right at the top of the page. We really do need your help. This is the end of the campaign. Thank you so much.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never before seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to salemnow.com. Salemnow.com.